I want to greet you all this morning in precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here this morning with you all. Thank the Lord for His grace and His mercy that He's extended to us. This morning I want to open our Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Again in verse 1, let's first go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before You this morning, Lord, and we just want to thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us, Lord. God, we pray for Your wisdom this morning as we open Your words. Fill us with Your Spirit. Lord, that Your Word may be manifest to our hearts and minds, Lord, that we might seek You with our whole hearts, Father. Lord, I just pray for Your power this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Luke chapter 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The message that Jesus has for us is to repent. We sang in this last song about he who runs his chance aground. What that's talking about is someone who takes their boat. A boat's made to float on the water. And someone who runs their boat into the rocks and it crashes. They run it aground. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do anymore. We have an opportunity with our life to live it for the Lord. We can use that word chance. It meant a boat. But we can use that today for the chance or the opportunity that you have in this life. You have one life. You have one opportunity to live it for someone. And he who ruins his chance won't get another one. That's all there is. We have but one life. Jesus said, and He was speaking to people here, He told about something that had happened, and everyone thought that those people that in that place were just horrible sinners, and God must have judged them. And He said, do you think those people were sinners above all other sinners because God did this? And most of the people would have thought, yeah, they got it coming. They got what they deserved. But Jesus said, don't worry about those. I'm telling you. that unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then he said, what about that tower, that big tower that fell and it killed 18 people? They were probably doing some wicked thing under there. Maybe they were having a big party and this tower fell on them and killed them. And everyone was just shocked, but they thought, well, they were just sinners. They got what they deserved. Jesus said, don't think that way. He said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The message that Jesus brought to men was a message of repentance. The very first message that Jesus preached in Mark or in Matthew, after he came out of the desert, the very first words it said, and he preached that men should repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right now is our chance or our opportunity to put our boat the way it ought to be going. Now is the time. We get so tangled up sometimes in, oh, what I've done in the past. Or we get to thinking about all our faults. And we miss the chance or the opportunity to live right, right now. Forget about what's past. Turn around and start living today. Determine right now. Forget about how many times I've failed before. I'm going to walk in the light that God has given me right now. Sometimes we focus so much on the past, we forget about what's right in front of us. And we make wrong decisions and follow that same pattern because that's what we're thinking about, that old pattern. But Jesus said, repent. That means turn around from what you were doing and start walking right. Right now is the opportunity that you have to begin doing right. Well, maybe I have said some things that I shouldn't have said. Well, I can get all beat out and worried about what I should have done or what I shouldn't have done. And then, while I'm thinking about that, say something else to someone else that I shouldn't be saying. Start now. Jesus came to call us to repentance. And when we change, God will forgive us. But until we do, we're still dwelling with our filthy old conscience in the past of what's gone wrong. The blood of Christ cleanses our heart and our mind and our conscience from those dead works that were behind. Die to yourself now. And follow the Lord. This, most of us have heard about the WWJD. What would Jesus do? It was a real popular book a few years ago. What would Jesus do? And the idea of that book was that in every situation in my life, I should examine what would Jesus do in my shoes? What would Jesus do if He had this life to live and faced the circumstances and the situations and the people in this world? What would He do in my place? If He was here, how would He live His life? Through me. That became very popular and people went out and they bought bracelets and they wear t-shirts and they put on hats and it's got WWJD on it and they think they're really setting the world on fire. But you know what? That doesn't matter at all. What God is looking for is someone who will actually think and do what Jesus would do. What would Jesus do in your life right now? You know what it means to repent? It means to quit thinking about what you're going to do and do what Jesus would do. That's a wonderful idea. It's a wonderful theme. But Christianity takes it and makes it into a bracelet or a necklace or a t-shirt or a hat instead of putting it in their heart and in their life. It's a good idea. The little book that told the story about this man who had determined that he wouldn't do anything until he asked himself the question, what would Jesus do? The pastor presented a challenge to his congregation. He said, who wants to take this challenge that for 1 year, before you make any decision in your life, you'll ask yourself that question, what would Jesus do? And then put it into practice in your life. There was a few of them came up and said they'd make that decision, then went through their lives of how they came to things, and they had, some of them lost their businesses. Some of them had to sell their business. Some of them had to give away a fortune because they promised that they would, for 1 year, just ask themselves, what would Jesus do in this situation? It's very stirring. It's exciting. Challenging. But the question is, are you going to do it? Are you going to actually live by that type of a principle? Some people say, oh, that's foolish. Make a commitment like that. Well, that's what a Christian is. He talked about just a handful of people in the church that came up and made this commitment. And they had a whole church of people. The problem is, they would still call everyone in there a Christian because they went to the church, or they had got baptized, or they had done this, or they had been obedient to the church. They had done this, or they had done that. But Jesus is looking for someone who will take their life and allow Him to live His life through them. Except ye repent. Repent is to allow Christ to live His life through you. What would Jesus do in my life? What would Jesus want? Does that scare you to think of a decision? Well, I couldn't make a commitment like that, you think. What would He actually ask me to do? I've heard people that have grew up in church all their life, playing churches. And they were presented a message like this, something like that. And after church, I mean high people in the church. And they'd say, that scares me to death. To think that I would give myself up like that. It scared them. But did he make a decision? Yes, that's what I'm going to do. Or did he walk in fear? That's what repentance means. It means don't just think about it. Don't just study it out. Don't just pray about it. Make a decision that I'm going to follow Jesus, whatever He wants me to do. There's another thing that's becoming popular. One of the biggest churches in Kentucky one of the biggest churches in the world. And the man has come up with an idea and he calls it not a fan. And he talks about a fan being someone that's at like a sports event. A fan. And he says that most of the people in the world are simply fans of Christianity. Or fans of Jesus. They come and they want to hear someone talk about Jesus. And they want to, amen, yes. They want to sing about Him. They want to pray. And they want to want to give Him credit for everything. And they're in the stands and they're ready and all excited. They even may do some stupid stuff to show how dedicated of a fan they are. But the problem is, Jesus doesn't want fans. He doesn't want people sitting in church singing about Him and praising Him all day long. He doesn't want people being rah-rah cheerleaders for Jesus. It's not what He's interested in. He doesn't want us to be doing stupid stuff for Him so that we can show how big a fan we are. He wants followers. He wants followers. It's a wonderful idea. This big church. And He's got everybody stirred up about it being this message. And now there's books, t-shirts, hats, necklaces, all kinds of things that talk about being not a fan. It's a brilliant idea, not being a fan, but being a follower. The problem is who's doing it? Who's doing it? What would Jesus do? People take that idea and they think it's wonderful. And they, in their mind, conjure up this idea of what Jesus would really want me to do. But the problem is, He's already told us what He wants. He already told us how to be a follower. How not just to be a fan. He said, "He that builds his house on the rock is he that hears My words and does them." That's a follower. He that hears My words and makes a big show out of it and builds him a big house is nothing but a fan. And he's built his house on the sand. And it'll fall. It won't make it through this world. It won't make it through the judgment day. Jesus is looking for followers. But that's something that you have to decide to do yourself. You have to make that decision that you're done with yourself. You're done with your past. You're done with your old life. You're done with being just a fan. You're just done with being someone who goes to church and calls himself a Christian. Someone who may do all the right things, but when it comes to your daily life, Jesus doesn't have hardly anything to do with it. Being a disciple of Christ is being a follower. The Bible calls us to be the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. I've thought about that. We're the light of the world and a salt of the earth. we look at Christianity as a whole, you know, they've done a lot of good things. They've done a lot. I mean, Christianity, even in its terrible state it's in right now, has influenced this world. It's changed things. It's brought people from being complete barbarians to being able to act civilly with one another. That's what Christianity did. It's changed almost every religion in some way or form and made it a little better because it was a little influence on it. Salt makes things better. But just because things are made better doesn't make someone a follower. Salt makes things better. I don't know how many times there's a lot of people when we're preaching on the street, they'll come up and say, well, has anyone converted, been converted, listening to you and or hearing your message of repentance? This message is out of date. No one's going to listen to that. Has anyone ever got saved listening to what you're talking about? Friday night we were on the street and there was 12 people got saved. 12 people. Because they would come up and see our message and argue with it and get all concerned. And then this evangelical pastor was just chasing them down. And he'd start talking to them. And then a few minutes later, he had his hands on their head and praying. And then saying, after they finished praying, he just had a big old smile and said, you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same after this. And they walk right by and hate God's Word. Still. They got saved. Doesn't mean a hill of beans. They prayed and asked Jesus into their heart. It don't mean nothing. Jesus is looking for followers. They might become fans of Jesus. I seen them again last night. Didn't look like any of them had changed very much. Our salt will affect people, though. It'll cause some concern. But it isn't good enough just to be saved. That's not what it's about. Jesus is looking for followers. That's who will be saved in the last days. That's who will be delivered. That's who Jesus will look upon and say, that one's mine. That one's mine. When we stand before the judgment, it's not going to be on a balance about, oh, he did good this day and he did bad that day. We get to thinking that way. My life is just, oh, let's just keep it all just like this. We're either wicked or we're righteous. One of the two. And we're righteous whenever we give our lives to actually put into practice what Jesus wants us to do. Every day. We need to call on the Lord whenever we've failed or whether if someone's in bondage to something. We call upon Him. And He'll deliver us. He'll heal us from sin. He does all of that. But just because you've been healed or been delivered doesn't mean that you're a follower. That's why there's so many people that are in church. There's a lot of people that God has touched their life. That salt has touched their life and made them better. There's a lot of people that are just fans today of Jesus. But it doesn't... That's not what He's looking for. Praise the Lord, He does all those things and He's good. What He's looking for is someone who, after they have been healed, after they've been saved, after they've been delivered from this world and its sin, someone who will actually take his life and say, I'm losing my life, and now I'm going to follow Jesus. That's what baptism is a picture of. It's someone dying, put in the grave, underwater, buried. And then the life that's risen up again is not that old man's life anymore. It's the life of Christ being lived in that person from then on out. You must change to be accepted by Christ. It's not good enough to be healed. It's not good enough to be saved. It's not good enough just to be baptized. Jesus is looking for people who will change, that He can accept. Last night there was a man came up and he just thought he was he had an agreement with God. He thought he had a deal worked out with God. He didn't think he was so bad. He thought he said, I do some bad things, but God kind of understands me. He has my back. In other words, He's watching out for me. He's protecting me. He's taking care of me. And I said, you're right. He is. God is good. He'll help you. He'll do things to watch out for you. He'll protect you. But when you get to heaven, I asked him, I said, do you think anybody will be lying in heaven? Do you think there'll be liars there? And he said, you mean somebody telling you stuff that isn't true? And I said, yeah. He said, no, I don't think that'll be there. And I said, what about stealing? Do you think there'll be anybody that steals in heaven? I mean, do you think we're going to have to keep our crown under lock and key in heaven if you get there and get one? No. I mean, do you think you're going to walk around the corner and hear somebody that stumped his toe and he's over there cursing? Angry? Swearing? Taking God's name in vain? That ain't going to be there. What about lust? Do you think people are going to go around lusting in heaven? And he said, no. And I said, that's right. None of that stuff will be there. And it didn't matter how good God is. If you're still doing that, you won't belong there. Because it won't be heaven anymore. If one person got in heaven and was a liar, it wouldn't be heaven. If one person got in heaven that was a thief, it wouldn't be heaven. And I said, what's going to change you? Are you waiting for something to happen when you die to change you? It isn't going to happen. Unless you change, you won't fit. in heaven. Unless your life is patterned after the life of Christ and you have His new life living in you, you will not fit in heaven. If you're making a little knick-knack shelf and you got everything on there just the way you want it, are you going to put some broken, ugly piece in the middle of it? It don't fit. That piece belongs in the trash can. And that's the way heaven is. The trash can is hell. And that's where all this rotten, filthy disobedience, sinfulness will go. God's trash can is hell. God's treasure is in heaven. And Jesus is going to look at our lives and He's going to say, that no fit. That no fit. The rest of you are dismissed. Many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these kind of things in My name? And He'll say, I don't know you. You're not going to fit in My heaven. Unless you change. You won't be accepted by Christ. One of those ladies that got saved the other night was mocking. And she said, this is before she got saved. She was telling us that Jesus isn't like a pill. You just take a pill and all of a sudden everything's fixed. And that's what she was calling out people that just say they get saved. She was saying that. That just getting saved just doesn't fix everything. And within 10 minutes, she had her head bowed listening to this fella. And this is the one that he looked at her and said, you'll never be the same. Salvation in Christ is when you turn your life away from yourself and follow Jesus. You ask yourself, what would Jesus do? You say, I'm not going to be a fan anymore. I'm going to be a follower. Man said last night, he said, well, I kind of think that God made me to be myself, and I'm just going to be myself. And I don't know how many people I've heard that, heard say that. This is the way God made me, and I'm just going to live out my life for myself. That'd be fine, except for what Jesus said. Jesus said, except you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Me. You cannot be My disciple. You're not going to fit in heaven unless you're His disciple, unless you're His follower. We don't have to know all the order, whether it God's everyone says they're waiting for God to change them. That you have to accept Jesus into your heart before you can change. The problem is, all those people that are accepting Jesus into their heart, thinking that God's going to change them, never change. They may quit doing bad things and think that's a great change. But that still isn't changing who is the Lord of their life. They've gone from being self-destructive to being self-preservative. And that's what most religion is trying to do. They don't want that self-destructive life of those wicked people. And so they live self-preserving lives and put on religion. And live clean lives, good lives. And they may be good people as far as people are concerned. But is Christ the center of their life? Are they following His teachings and living the way He taught? Or are they just dead religion? There's a great difference. There's a great difference. God is not waiting to change you. God is waiting for you. He's done it all. He's paid the price. He's even called you. There's a man that preaches, and last night he was down the street, and we went and listened to him, and he talked about, be not conformed to this world, but be renewed, that you might, what is it, Romans 12? To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, he's saying the right thing. I just wanted to go encourage him and say, yes, that's the right message. That's what we need. We've tried to talk to him before. And he said, oh, you're working your way to heaven. You're all messed up because you're talking about obedience. But every time he opens the Bible and he reads it, he's saying, obey, 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 because that's what the Scriptures are saying. Repent and change is something you have to do. God's done it all. You're not going to be able to die for your sins. You're not going to be able to set yourself free from Satan or from this world or from your sin. You can't do that. Jesus did it. But you can choose to obey the Lord. And unless you do, you're just a fan waiting for Jesus to do something in your life. The choice is yours. The opportunity is now. What would Jesus do? It's amazing. A lot of the world's message in Christianity is right. They are using the Word of God. But who actually hears it and does it? The Pharisees knew it and understood it. They could tell you, they could quote it. But did they do it? Jesus called them hypocrites for the most part. Actors, pretenders. Pretenders to be followers. You know, the fans in the football games and those different things, they'll go buy the shirt that has their hero's number on it and be a big fan. But they're not doing it. They're just pretending. They would really like to be that person. Maybe you'd really like to be a Christian. Well, you can really like it all you want. Tell you, rise up, take up your cross and follow Him. You're just a fan. Take His words see what He wants and how He wants you to live and carry it out. It's not that hard. Not that hard to understand. But Jesus said, few there be that find it. We don't want to. It'll cost me too much. You must change to be accepted by the Lord. Father, we come before You, Lord, and we just thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. Thank You, Father, for the clarity of Your Word. Lord, help us, Father, to give You the time out of our life to weigh each decision on what You would do. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone have anything you'd like to share or add to the message? And well, may the Lord bless His words. We'll praise the Lord. Thank you.